Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to Thursday as we get ready for yet another weekend of college football. It's great to have all of you here. We have a lot to do today, and why don't we get started before we get to your phone calls? So let's start with some headlines here. And there's always something going on in college football. Athletic directors have expressed a preference to keep FBS football under the NCAA if governance can be improved. We'll talk to Tom McMillan about that in a few minutes. Always a big if. Meanwhile, on the field, Shane Beamer breaks down number one, Georgia, still trying to find a weakness. Well, good luck, Shane. Try to avoid a beatdown while you're doing it. Mike Griffith will join us in about 2 hours to get us ready for that. Big one in Auburn, Penn State and Auburn. That's where we will be at this time tomorrow afternoon. It's not easy getting stuff from Happy Valley to the loveliest village. We'll tell you how it happens as we talk to Audrey Snyder in a few minutes, and later Brandon Marcello, who was in Auburn yesterday, giving us the latest on what the future looks like for Brian Harsin. And how about some good news from the CFP? The kickoff. Last year it started at 8:20. Alabama and Georgia didn't end until 10 minutes before midnight on the East Coast. ESPN announcing today the game will start at 7:30 Eastern time. That's 6:30 in Alabama. So therefore, you might actually get to bed at a decent hour after celebrating a big victory for your home team. We mentioned Audrey will join us in a few minutes. Tom McMillan, the great player, nearly 50 years in a week after he played for the gold medal for the U.S. team in Munich. Mike Griffith and Marcello, and your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Great to hear from all of you. Let's get going. And Dave starts it off in Austin. Hello, Dave. Good, go right ahead.
What's going on, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, now, I agree with you. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I want this, and you know I'm a legit Longhorns fan, but in my opinion, that was not a dirty hit. That was a football hit, and stuff happens on the quarterback, Ewers.
Okay.
So the rest of the Texas fans calling in and saying that stuff, they're giving us a bad rap. That's all I wanted to say, Paul.
Pat is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Listen, you think maybe Jim from Tuscaloosa might have a Ring of Honor envy? Or is he just falling out of the wrong side of the bed in the morning?
I'm sure that Jim never stopped to think that the four people that got in the Ring of Honor are all deceased. Not that he acts like he's fully breathing half the time that he's calling in. He's more hyperventilating. I don't know. He's an angry old man. What can I say?
And I was going to mention, you mentioned it first, but I wondered if he figured out that the primary qualification for the first class was that you were deceased.
Yeah. Jim probably never thought about that. He's too busy spewing hate and misinformation.
Well, let's talk about Georgia, South Carolina for just a minute. The way we played last Saturday, it brought South Carolina into play a little bit, but not much. Rattler, he played all right in the Big 12. He's not going to play even all right in the SEC, and I sure am glad it's a noon game instead of a night game, but I think Georgia's going to handle it just fine. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. I think a night game would have been a little more frightening. And, you know, sometimes like we saw last week in Austin, the noon game or the 11 o'clock Central game can help the home team. But I think Georgia knows what they're getting into. They're not overlooking the game. They're not looking past it. And at some point, let's see if this is the year that South Carolina makes the quantum leap. They won a bunch of games last year. Some of them came late against teams that were spiraling out of control. I hope this program is for real. I would love to see a really good game. I'm not optimistic we will. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Gary, who is up next. Hey, Gary.
How are you, my friend? You doing good?
We are. Thank you.
First of all, I thoroughly enjoyed every second of your appearance in Little Rock on Monday. That just made
thank
my
you,
day. I hung on every word. It was great.
No, it was fun.
What I wanted to talk to you about, I have a bugaboo and a question on the expanded playoff. I mean, completely happy, excited about the 12 teams. The seeding of the top four I really dislike, so we'll start there. I mean, if you go back last year, number seven ranked would have been number four seed. Georgia, who won the national championship, would have been five. I mean, it's possible you're number 12 in the country, but you get to be number four in the playoffs. I truly just hate that. I hate that with a passion. And then the second part of that is, why did Notre Dame acquiesce to that, knowing that they can't be in the top four seeds, that the best they can ever be is number five?
Well, Gary, I think the reason they acquiesced is that they've looked at the past and realized that they have not been in that position anyway other than that one time. So, twice since 2012. And secondly, it also allows them not to be in a league which they apparently don't want to be. So it gives them a little freedom. It costs them, but I think they figured the trade-off was equitable. And I don't know much more than that. I think they ought to get in the league. I think they would be a much more formidable opponent, and maybe they will one day. So that's really, I mean, if they get into a league, then it doesn't matter. If they stay where they are, they can get in. They just can't get in at a high level.
Which I sort of understand that. I mean, given a year ago had all this played out and the way it was originally written, I assume making the top four conference winners was to appease the Pac-10, 12, whatever they're called this week, the Big 12. And so if we assume that just making the top four seeds, the top four conference-ranked teams or conference champion-ranked teams, you know, at that point, I'm thinking Notre Dame had, you know, it took 11 to pass it. Notre Dame had carte blanche to say, hey, whoa, how about the top four conference winners and or Notre Dame or any independent that's in the top four? I don't know. It just seems that they rolled over. And don't get me wrong.
I understand that. But let me also ask you this, Gary. I don't, you know, you understand where I'm going here. Any negotiation involves leverage. I don't think they had any leverage. So they either took the deal or they got a worse deal. So I think we're giving them way too much credit. They had no cards to play. The CFP was going with or without them. Hey, thank you very much for the call. JW is up next in Tennessee. Hello, JW.
Hello, Paul. Before I forget it, I want to commend the young lady that took your place on Monday. She did a very good job.
Alyssa, yes, she's fantastic. I'm glad you said that.
But what I'm calling about is Vanderbilt football. I'm interested in your opinion since you spent so much time with the hierarchy up there. Do you come away with the impression that this time they're serious about resurrecting the football program and doing whatever is necessary to be competitive, or is it just yet again so much rhetoric?
Okay. Could I ask you one question, JW, before I answer a question?
Yes, sir.
Would you like me to give you the nuanced answer, or do you want the hard-boiled truth?
The hard-boiled truth, please.
Okay. I did not come away any more convinced than I had been before.
Okay. I was afraid of that, but I've been a Vanderbilt fan or tried for years, and I have just heard that over and over again.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things. I was very impressed with the chancellor. I think he's an extraordinary academician. I've had many conversations with Candace Lee. And I genuinely like Clark Lee, the football coach. And I think in some other place, he would be very good. But I just don't buy completely their plan. To me, it's not going to really change. I mean, right? There are very few programs in the SEC right now that you have to seriously wonder about. I think we all try to prop up Vanderbilt. You know my history with that school as well, and I don't need to keep repeating it. But I don't, in today's environment, which is more competitive and more difficult than it's ever been with all the money pouring in, I came away from there with no more optimism that Vanderbilt is going to be a contender in the SEC. We'll take a break. More to come. More after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back as we continue here on Thursday afternoon. Let's talk about one of the biggest games in the country this weekend. Audrey Snyder joining us from The Athletic. And Audrey is in Alabama covering the game. We can't reveal where she is. She's at a secret location. Audrey, thank you for joining us. You wrote about a lot this week with Penn State, and in particular, transportation, the transportation challenges from getting everything from up there to in the middle of, the southwest or south central west Alabama. Take us through this story because, the players fly. People like you get down here more efficiently. It's not easy to get to Auburn, but a lot of other things have to come on the road. So what happens and how does it work?
For sure. That's why I'm sitting in the car, Paul, because, it's a transportation story. I'm down here doing some recruiting stories as well. It's been really crazy for Penn State logistically trying to get down here. you're talking about coming from State College's super, super tiny airport. And then the issue they ran into is that Montgomery, a third of the runway is under construction. So they're actually adding a cabling system. So they're a little more concerned about F-16s than they are Penn State getting in here. So this is going to be a challenge for a lot of teams that are coming in to play Auburn this year, because most of them, from what I found out from my reporting, is that they're planning on using, they were, Montgomery Air, Montgomery's regional airport. So Penn State, now the option is still at play. I would not be surprised if they end up using Maxwell Air Force Base. That discussion has been talked about, and it certainly seems like that is a very, very strong possibility at this point. Obviously, you've also got Columbus, Georgia. You could do that and bus, but for a long time, the visiting team has stayed in downtown Montgomery, Alabama, which also for a long time was where the home team stayed as well. So again, if you're trying to move a team from Columbus, Georgia with a police escort up to Montgomery, good luck. So yeah, this is a logistical hurdle. And I mean, the funny thing with all of this is college football. I mean, this is what so many people face trying to get to games. And Auburn dealt with this last year, you know, when they were trying to come to town because State College doesn't have a bunch of hotels. And so Auburn team surgeon, Dr. James Andrews, almost did not make the game last year. He grabbed the last spot at the tiny University Park Airport on the runway. So it's a challenge, man. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and by the way, yeah, I was thinking, because I've flown into another airport there near Maxwell. Maxwell is a very well-known Air Force base. But as you were talking about this, Audrey, I thought about all the times I've tried to get to Penn State. And you laid it out there. I think these two schools are made for each other, because you can't find two schools in America that are more difficult to get to. And I will say, I think State College has gotten easier over the years, from the first time I went there in the 80s to most recently. I can't remember. It seems like we flew into somewhere near there. Isn't that true? I can't remember.
Yeah, there's an airport 4 miles away from Beaver Stadium. So you've got the University Park Airport. But the funny thing with that is it's so small that when your plane's there, you walk out, you know, step on the plane yourself, and then you're right, like, on the runway just about. Yeah, there's one security line, three gates. You know, you can't even buy food past security. Like, it's the smallest airport I've ever been in. So, yeah, State College always gets kind of the most difficult place to get to award. And now Penn State is dealing with that, you know, heading to Auburn. And it's just logistics of college football.
But
you know?
I don't mean to tell Penn State how to get there, but I'm going to Auburn tomorrow, and I'm going to the busiest airport in the world, in Atlanta. It's not that far away with police escorts. If you want to redirect away from Montgomery, Columbus, Atlanta is a pretty nice place to land.
For sure. I did the same yesterday. I flew into Atlanta and then drove down. You know, and I think for them, again, it's creatures of habit. And it's like the plan all along was to get to Montgomery because the hotel is there. And, you know, you advance scout these hotels and make sure that it is everything that you need. So it's not just as simple as like, hey, let's find a new hotel now. It's a matter of like, all right, we got to coordinate police escorts. And Penn State's also bringing their marching band to this away game, too. So you've got all those people to kind of factor in, although their logistics are a little bit different. So,
well, let's get to something more important, and that's the game. We were talking to Tom Luganville here yesterday. He did the game last week in State College for ESPN or ABC, whichever network had it. And he was very impressed, he told us, with Penn State, with a couple of exceptions. I think it was the offensive line he was concerned about, and a couple of other things. In covering the team, how would you grade the progress after 2 weeks?
You know, it's interesting because Penn State opened up on the road with Purdue, and it's no secret Purdue was going to throw the ball a million times and came out and did that. So to me, it's like, I want to see how Penn State can stop the run in this game, because we haven't seen that. I mean, they played Ohio last week, and with all due respect to the Bobcats, that's, you know, that's just not an even matchup there. So you didn't really get a chance to see that. But yeah, Penn State's offensive line, that's been the weakness of this team now for pretty much the duration of James Franklin's time here. I mean, it was a sanction problem early on. It was not great last year, and all preseason James said, you know, it has to be better. It has to be better, but I'm not going to promise that this is the year. There have been some promising signs with that line, but again, Sean Clifford got sacked 3 times last week against Ohio. So Now, you can say, sure, some of that's holding onto the ball too long, but to me, it's this offensive line is going to be under the microscope this week, and Penn State's run defense with Manny Diaz, we haven't seen him have to stop the run, and now they're going to have to. So for me, like, those are the two big things that I want to see, you know, kind of how Penn State looks, because, again, Paul, this is a team that was 5-0 last year, and then the wheels fell off. So it's a long, long season.
And finally, I would like to ask you about James Franklin, because, you know, nobody's made more money in college football. And I don't want to say he's done less, because, you know, he had that really that one sensational year, and he's had a couple of other good years, but it hasn't been great. It's not exactly what we all thought. He got paid a lot of money last year not to go other places, and I don't even know if he had an opportunity to go. How would you characterize the James Franklin situation at Penn State?
You know, it's interesting to me, Paul, because we talk and we look at the expanded college football playoff, and Penn State and maybe Auburn, too, like, these might be the two biggest, or maybe Penn State is the biggest beneficiary of an expanded playoff field. Because 2016, I mean, that's – and I always was talking to somebody about this last night, is that if Penn State would have made the playoff in 2016, the year they won the Big Ten, the year they beat Ohio State, do we then judge James Franklin's tenure a little bit differently? Instead, they go to the Rose Bowl and they lose the Rose Bowl. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's the thing. But there was definitely a lot of – I want to say it was a heated fan base, a very fired up fan base when that contract came down last year. And it's kind of like, all right, so like, prove it. I mean, I understand early on you had sanctions and that was a challenge. And then I think maybe where the problem was here for James Franklin was the fact that they then succeeded quicker than people thought. You know, you went from 2014 with sanctions and a bowl ban to then, hey, 2016, you're playing in the Rose Bowl. And then you got those three New Year's Six games. But since then, I mean, the big storyline heading into this year was they were 11-11 since the start of the 2020 season. I mean, it was a unique time to get a new contract. But I'm just glad that we don't have to do the, hey, is he, isn't he thing again, because that's been a pretty much an every offseason thing here.
Well, listen, enjoy your time in Alabama, Audrey. It's great to talk to you, and it's a memorable place to go, I will say, just like all the great trips I've had to State College. Auburn is someplace you will remember. Thank you for the time. Be safe, especially in that car right now.
You got it. I'm turning the AC on now. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. When you bring Pennsylvania down to Alabama in late summer, that's what you get. We'll take a break. A lot to do here on the program. Look forward to talking to you right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We have a lot to get to today, including your phone calls. But we also want to talk to Tom McMillan, who has been here with us a number of times before. There's a lot happening in college athletics. Some news out of recommendation from athletic directors. I know Tom met with a number of people yesterday. First of all, Tom, how are you and what's going on?
Well, it's great to be with you, Paul. It's a great time of year, football season, and we had our lead one meeting representing all the FBS athletic directors in Washington last week. You can see many of their hats behind me. And we had a very, very productive meeting. We had over 100 ADs there, both in attendance live and virtual. And we talked for about 4 hours on this issue of FBS football governance and where it should occur.
And I haven't dug too deep into it because I wasn't there and I wasn't hosting it like you. But what does that mean? I mean, I saw the headline and you start thinking, okay, is this binding? Is it not? Is it a recommendation? And who's listening? So help us better understand this.
No, it's a very good question. So we are advisory. I mean, we don't make the rules for anything. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, we gave a bunch of recommendations to the Transformation Committee of the NCAA on infractions reform. And it was they were backed by 75 of our ADs, and seven of them were adopted. So the point is that when the ADs come together on an issue, their voice is heard. Their voice can be very important. And this is not just one conference. These are ADs across all the conference. And, you know, yesterday we had breakout sessions. We talked at length about this. And one of the things there was absolute concurrence on is that the status quo, how you govern football, is not acceptable. And there needs to be a new model. And, you know, after those 4 hours, it was strong preference. I mean, when I say strong, I don't think there was a dissent about giving the NCAA a shot to reform their governance system, make it less bureaucratic, more nimble, more responsible, before looking to move that whole governance system outside the NCAA. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about moving it outside. It's not as easy as it seems because there's money involved and there's other issues involved. But here's the bottom line. Across the board, across conferences, the AD said, look, what we want is a streamlined form of governance, no longer the status quo. And that's what we're going to push the NCAA and the Transformation Committee, by the way, under the co-chairmanship of Greg Sankey, who's done some incredible things with that committee, to adopt.
We're talking to Tom McMillan. And Tom, if you indulge me for a second, and we've discussed this before, but I thought a lot about it over the weekend. And if I thought a lot about it as a young person watching, I cannot imagine what was going through your mind, I think, Friday into Saturday, on the 50th anniversary of one of the most incredible moments in world sports history, of which you played a critical role. It was the 50th anniversary of the famous gold medal game. And before we even go back 50 years, what were you thinking about over the weekend as that commemoration occurred?
It's particularly, thanks for asking, Paul, it's particularly poignant on this anniversary. It comes up every 5 years, or, you know, and during the Olympics. But it's particularly poignant because back then, we were in a Cold War with the Soviet Union. That game was decided by forces beyond us. And here we are 50 years later, and we're in another Cold War with Russia. And I think about the Ukraine conflict. So this game transcended sports. That game transcended sports. And so it brings out a lot of memories to me. And you go to the Olympics thinking it's hallowed ground. 5 days before a game, the Israeli athletes are murdered in a terrorist attack. And then 5 days later, we play this most controversial game. So very surreal.
And for all of you young people out there that weren't alive or don't really know what we're talking about, I'll briefly give you the skinny on it. And I urge you to go back because Tom, you can say in sports, I've never seen anything like that, but nobody has ever seen anything like that. The game was, you won the game, it was over, you won the gold medal, what every young person dreams about. And then the officials just kept finding ways to take it away. And finally, I don't know how many minutes later, they finally did. I mean, it was an absolute, I mean, they're bad calls. And then there's just a complete steal of epic proportion during that period, during in that game, as they kept replaying it and giving the Soviet, it was called the Soviets at the time, more opportunities. I mean, how could you handle your discipline and your anger? Because you saw it closer than anyone else did.
It was maximum chaos. There were people all over the court. You know, we won the game. And we came from behind to win it. We were young players playing against pros in the Soviet Union. We came from behind, and then just chaos. And then the Russians run out in the court, stop the game, and we have to play it two more times. And just a comedy of errors. I mean, there are so many errors, it's just ridiculous. And finally, on the third time, the Soviets prevail. But we thought this was all highway robbery, and we would win on appeal the next day. And then you go to the appeal the next day, and it was made up of three Eastern Bloc countries voting in solidarity with the Soviet Union against two Western Bloc countries. You know, I always said we didn't need to play that basketball game. That could just, you know, Brezhnev and Nixon could have just arm wrestled it, because it was way above our heads.
And you did not accept the gold medal. Is that something? I know that's something that people have debated. It doesn't seem like it would have been much of a debate. But how did that? How was that decision reached?
It was reached in unanimous fashion at in the locker room. And I'm glad we did it, because it brings this message out over and over again. I mean, you look back over the years, I mean, Russia has a history of cheating, whether it's doping scandals or whatever. And it's important to keep bringing it back. And I said, in light of the whole Ukraine thing, because there is just so much commonality between the time 50 years ago and today. You know, we won that game, and there was recent reporting, I don't know if you saw it, Paul, where they have lost five of the medals. One of them supposedly is in the hands of a German with Nazi affiliations. So, I mean, the IOC has been proclaiming forever. You know, I tried to get the medals back this year to a museum in the United States. You know, just send them to the museum so we can get them out of vault. And they said, no, 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 you've got to accept them all. And here we find out they don't even have them all. I mean, it's the height of hypocrisy. Someone stole them, and the IOC did nothing.
You had an iconic college career in Maryland. You spent 11 years in the NBA. You served several terms in Congress. But here we are. I'm still asking you about this. I know that, and again, I'll say this again. Please go watch the game for you students out there who are saying, who are these guys? What are these guys talking about? It you almost have to see it in real time. But is that? I know that you probably, you know, it's important to talk about, especially now. But did you have any idea that night, as you were commiserating with your teammates, that it would still be a topic this many years later? Could you have ever dreamed?
No, you don't think that way when you're 21, 22 years old. You just cannot think that way. But remember, we were shell-shocked when we came home from those games. Largely, I might add, because of this horrible, horrific terrorist attack on the village. Our basketball game was bad enough, but think about, I mean, first of all, we understand terrorism because we've lived with it. Back in the 70s, that wasn't something unheard of. And to have an Olympic village invaded, it was just so mind-boggling, it's hard to believe. In a space of 5 days, to have these things happen. But in those Olympics, along with many other things, there were refereeing disputes, medal disputes. So you go there, very idealistic, and you come home saying, wow, this is the most human of institutions.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because what happened there, you know, with the murder of those Israeli athletes, really was, there's no such thing as saying one thing is the beginning, but it really was the beginning of terrorism that we have experienced for all these many years later. And the stories about how, as you know, how Israel, you know, not only sought revenge, but got revenge on all of them, is one of the more remarkable stories in world history.
And you think what it's meant to the Olympic security. I think the whole Olympic security bill in Munich was $1 million. Today it's in the billions of dollars. I mean, think about having to protect these villages and their prime targets. So that Olympics was seminal. It was unforgettable. Something that, you know, I'll really never get out of my heart or mind.
And to think finally, Tom, to keep layering on top of this, the whole idea by the Germans getting the Olympics was to show that the past was the past, and it was a different world over there, and then this happened. It's just, A lot has happened.
It was so ironic because they went to great lengths. This was the new Germany. And it was and the village was magnificent. And to see all this happen, to kind of spoil that, really, sort of their coming back into the world as a normal and accepted country is tragic as well. So it was historic, and appreciate you bringing it up to your viewers' attention.
Well, I promise you I'll quit doing it, but I still remember as a 16-year-old being as angry as any 16-year-old could be about watching their team, which was you, of course, and your teammates have something. Being robbery, stolen, those words do not even describe it. Thank you for coming on, and the next time we'll get back to the issue at hand, but we really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Tom McMillan, a part of American and world history in ways that that we all should continue to study. I mean, you think about a bad call or a targeting call. They won this game 3 times, and it was still stolen from them. It wasn't just a regular, like an exhibition game. It was the gold medal game, the final event of the 1972 Olympics. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we are back, and I-Man is up next. Good afternoon, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. And hello to the new call screener. Congratulations. Very pleasant young man. You know, Paul, we all grew up watching Andy Griffith's Mayberry, you know, the Sheriff of Mayberry, and had his deputy Barney Fife. And it was always fascinating when people would come to the jail and, here at The Rock, we got two rules. I tell you what, you went pure Barney Fife on Jim from Tuscaloosa yesterday. And I didn't think those tactics worked except in those old black and white gangster movies, you know, with the FBI and stuff. But when you put that flexible lamp on Jim and turned it on, I tell you, you were psychologically tearing him apart. You owned him. I mean, you dug deep through that mush, and you found some cells that was actually connected, and you made him say some things. And knowing that Jim was born in 1945, by 1960, he's playing. He's 15 years old, and he's playing at the American Legion baseball. That'd be about the right age. So 1960 is the measuring point. You know, they've been keeping – Jim once said that they didn't keep stats. Well, I kind of Googled it, and they've been keeping stats since, like, 1870, you know. And then it kind of caught on, and everybody kind of started taking note of making stats and team pictures with names and all those kind of things. But I tell you what, the way you did Jim was just pure artful. I didn't know any of those Don Knott tricks worked. I thought you had to be waterboarding and, you know, putting electricity to people and that kind of thing. But you just,
yeah, but I mean,
just
you
relentlessly.
Understand this show better than anyone. But you know, you always in a battle like that, I can't scream louder than he can. I can't yell "old man" as often as he can, even though he's 10 years older.
Right.
I just had to ask the most obvious question, then the one that you and I both know he would run away from, his age. And by asking,
I'm proud to be six.
Yeah,
I'm proud to be 65 years old. There's a lot of my friends that didn't make it to be 65.
He's afraid of that, though, because I think that just extends the amount of time that he has lived, that he has accomplished nothing.
And you know, for him to be so sensitive about being called grumpy, he is grumpy. Doesn't he understand what grumpy is? That was the whole basis of his call, was you called him grumpy. And he was so offended. But you did it in such a mild-mannered kind of way, kind of like you was at the tea party, and you was holding your little china cup with your pinky out there, and you said, where'd you play last? Give me some stats. Yeah. I mean, he's been a great baseball player. We don't know if he was a switch hitter, what bat. We don't know the kind of glove. We don't know his average. We don't know anything because he doesn't want to brag. He doesn't want to brag, but yet he brags all the time. Is he confused? Is he deranged? Does he need help, Paul? Does he need a prayer?
No, I don't know what he needs. All I know is that he got exposed yesterday, and he probably won't ever be back, which is fine. We can live with that. We're at the end of the first hour, and we're back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.